Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has so many wonderful things to say and share with His people who love Him. The Lord has always given His people who love Him, His dear people, people that just love Him. They love what's right. They love His word. They love His mission. They love His people, His wisdom. They thrive on the knowledge of God. Well, when there are people like that, the Lord has, He goes out of His way to tell them things that they need to know. When people love God, they change the whole dynamic of their relationship with Him. When people are proud, they have no relationship with Him. But when people come to the Lord, they come as they are. And sometimes there are things, this thoughts that still attach to our lives. Just because you get saved, all your the way you think don't always change. It changes over time. As you're introduced to more knowledge and as you receive more knowledge. As you see how the Lord do things, you adapt and adjust. That's how it works. That's how we all are. And the Lord is ever loving, and He's ever kind towards us. And He does everything in His power to help us receive the knowledge we need and the understanding that we need. He's trying to rescue us. When a person gets saved, it's not totally over. It's not like they're locked into heaven and they'll never be in danger again. They got to come to a point where that's what they stay in the kingdom of God. They stay with the love of God. They protect the light that's in them and they build upon it. And as long as they're growing from glory to glory, they're in the kingdom of God. As long as they're, it's not their works, it's just their continual detachment of the world, which is based on the love of God. You know, there's a hot church and then there's a cold church and then the lukewarm church. Now the cold church has went back to the world altogether. The lukewarm church, they allow worldliness in their lives and they become complacent against God. And instead of having a relationship with Him, they have a reputation of being with Him. They do things their way, and when you put them in a pinch, they're going to always choose their way and not God's way. That's how the lukewarm church is. But the problem with the lukewarm church is they stand at the gate and cause people to detour because they treat holy things haphazardly. They could care less whether they hear from the Holy Spirit or not. And they don't value the things of God. But they love the ways of the world. But they have the reputation of being in love with God. But they're really not in love with God. And to onlookers, they look fine. They look like there's no problem. They look like everything's okay. But on the inside, they're like ravening wolves. The difference between the hot church and the lukewarm church is their love for God. Their devotion for the things of God and their devotion for the world. The hot church loves God and they hate the enmity of the world. They hate the ways of the world and they remain the friend of God. They love God. They're always thankful for what Jesus has done for them. They preach His word with devotion. But the lukewarm church, they have no devotion. The cold church, they don't expect God to move in their life. They love the world. And they're not going to budge. God, you know, actually the world is cold. The world is what's cold against God. They hate God. The lukewarm church, they know God. They knew, they experienced the love of God. But even though they experienced the love of God, they cling to the wicked ways of the world. And they do things the worldly way. They do things according to their pride. And they lose their devotion against God. They lose their devotion for God. And they become an enemy against God. Because any part of the, if you love any part of the world system, you will become the enemy of God. And it starts in seed form. Just like your love for God started in seed form. We love God because He first loved us. We receive the love of God. We receive the love of Jesus through the salvation that He provided and the healing. And then the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We receive those things and then we're so thankful for it that we express it. We love God because He first loved us. And we know that He loves us. Now the person that is lukewarm, the Lord loves them too. When Jesus said, when one sheep goes astray, the Lord will leave 99 and go after one. That's what a good shepherd would do. He's the best shepherd. Not just a good one, but the best. And He fights for our safety. He sends ministers to warn us. When we're going astray, our family members, He gives them things to say by the Holy Spirit. And He calls them to say what we need to hear so we can make a decision to turn from our wickedness. The wickedness will turn you against life and cause you to be an enemy against God over time. And it starts when you first start playing with the world. And people hide their darkness. They don't reveal it. They do their darkness around wherever they are, where there's nobody they know. But around the people they know, they put on another face. They do things different. And now God knows this. He sees it. He sees it all. Nothing's hidden from Him. Your deepest thoughts are revealed plainly before the Lord. Sometime before you realize it. When you're headed down the wrong path, the Lord knows this. And He will help you come out of it. And that's the point I want to make. The Lord does things to help us get back on track and stay on track. He loves us. He's concerned about us. He wants to help us. He wants to be a blessing to us. It's not His will that we surrender to the lies of the world. It's not His will that we become lost. He wants to help us turn back to the fold, to the love of God, to the wisdom of God, the intentions of God, the will of God, the word of God, and stay there and live and enjoy life. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ, just like there's no wisdom or understanding against the knowledge of God. There's no knowledge or wisdom against God. If it's not of God, it's not wise. The life of God is good. God will not do you wrong. He will bless you and He will help you stay in the love of God. You have to decide to do these things. It's your choice. Everybody in the whole army of heaven, or all the citizens of heaven, they're there by choice. They want to be there. And they share in the success of God. They share in the kingdom of God. They put in. They work towards the same goals of God. The kingdom of heaven belongs to God and everybody who shares in it. And we all work together in agreement, full agreement with God. His creation is with Him. And these are the concepts we learn as we respond to the love of God towards us. And so it is with everybody. Now, when the word of God is preached, everybody that has ears to hear, they want in the kingdom of God. They want to be in God's house. They don't want to just get saved and miss hell. as they learn of God, they want more of Him. They want more knowledge from Him. They want to understand Him. They want to be in agreement with Him. And they learn to trust Him over time. When you live, even the person that lives by faith, faith doesn't always have trust in. Faith takes God at His word. Faith looks to God. But your relationship with Him, you trust God because of His goodness in the past that you realize. When you realize that God had your back, you start trusting Him for the future. But faith is now. Faith takes God at His word in present time. Faith is always on. It's always in present tense. A man will live by his faith. Your faith is how you access the things of God. It's your faith that causes you to speak God's word and change the facts in your life. The facts on the ground where you are. The facts in your body. You turn negative facts into God's promising positive facts. If a man is sick, he says, "I'm healed because Jesus paid for my healing. By His stripes, I am healed, and I take my healing now." And the facts in his body, they change from sickness to perfection. From disease to cure. From pain to feeling good again. From bumps and bruises to clear skin. From cancer to muscle. And you change the facts in your body. And you become like Him. Now, the Lord loves us. And His love, He's devoted with His love. His love is for us and not against us. He's going to share. We're going to get to share in His love. And we're going to get to enjoy His presence. And it's holy to us. The love of God is holy. And the love of God is good. He is good. And He's wonderful. And I love Him. I want to do all that's in His heart. Everything that He desires me to do, I want to be in on it, doing it. And I love the Lord my God. He is my King. He is my salvation. And the more I learn about Him, the more I want to know about Him. The more I desire to understand. And I don't want the wicked things of this world and the evil devices against me. I want to do all that's in His heart. Everything. And see, God is coming back for a glorious church that responds to His love. And the lukewarm that wouldn't budge, the Lord tried to warn them. See, in our minds, sometimes lukewarm people seem all right. And God is being unreasonable for spitting them out. Think about what happens, though. If something happens to your love and your focus, something happens to you. If you stop loving the things of God, what are you loving in place of it? And why? Why would a person deviate from the love that's so rich towards them? It's always a reason why. And the reason is their love for the world is growing to the point that they become lukewarm. And they don't care about the things of God like they once did. And they fall away from the things that made them strong in the first place. And they begin to desire the things, the worldly things. And they're going out to Satan's bait. Now, a picture of a lukewarm person is found in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 42. If you study that chapter 42 and 43, you'll see the condition of what a lukewarm people will do. And, you know, if you study that Jeremiah 42, you're going to see what God naturally sees. And he has to do something about it. And he will. See, Jesus is not just the one who gave us life. He has to protect heaven too. He protects us against hell. He protects us from hell. And he protects heaven from sin. He's not going to let sin enter. He made a way for man to get rid of his sins. And that's what we got to do. We got to drive it out of our life. It's up to us to hate those things. When he addressed the seven churches, he gave us everything we needed to know to destroy the things that cause us harm. And the common denominator was the way we love God. Protect your first love. And you won't do these things. Don't, you know, one church, he said, you've left your first love. Don't, your love is supposed to be growing, not staying the same or getting worse. You're supposed to at least keep your first love, because that's the devotion that brought you to the Lord in the first place. And you continue in his ways. And you drive out the wickedness of this world. Just like the Israelites were supposed to drive out all the Canaanites, not make deals with, not let them remain. Drive them out. And stay in the love of God. And don't be like them. But did they drive them out? No, they didn't finish driving them out. And the remnant that they left, and all the people that remained, became like thorns in their sides and smoke in their eyes. And that was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Everywhere he went, somebody was ridiculing him. These are the men of God. They show us the way of salvation, the damsel said, by the familiar spirits. And see, she had a familiar spirit. She had a reputation of telling people personal things. And she had credibility in the eyes of men. They were making money on her. They were making money. People would pay them they would pay her and her people for her to tell their fortune. And men were making money on her. And they tell their fortune, because she knew a few facts about their life, because the devil knows who we are and what we do and what we think. Not what we think, but what we say and what we act on, what we act like. He knows what our parents did. He knows our cousin's name. And they can tell you little things and secrets about your life that nobody knows. And then that person with the familiar spirit, they have the confidence of people that don't know not to fool with people that have familiar spirits. And then when that kind of person minimizes the credibility of a real man of God, people listen. Except for those who have ears to hear. And it's still a distraction. Because some of the people have went to her and they knew that they heard how she know things about you. And then she's saying, these are the men of God. They show us the way of salvation. Like it's a joke. And Paul rebuked that demon. He cried out to the Lord three times for God to do something about it. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. In other words, Paul, my checks don't bounce. I gave you authority when I gave you salvation. Do something about it yourself. And he took authority over it. When God said, my grace is sufficient for you, it's the same thing as if a man would say, if somebody write me a check, and I say, I really need you to pay me. He said, that check's sufficient. It's not going to bounce. God's checks don't bounce. His word don't change. He gave you authority over Satan. You got to use it. Drive that Philistine out of your path. And that's what he did. See, before he understood, he didn't know what to do. Paul wasn't there when Jesus taught them about authority. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He wasn't there. The other 12 were there. He had to learn these things by the Holy Spirit. These were concepts he had to get used to, just like you do. Yeah, but he was an apostle. He know everything. No, apostles don't know everything. The Lord called me to be an apostle, and I know I don't know everything. The office of an apostle means that God anointed you to do a specific thing. And we have to learn how to do it, just like anybody else. Every other minister, we have to learn things. We don't know everything. Sometimes we have to be taught by teachers. Yeah, but teachers were put last. Apostles supposed to know more than a teacher. No. Apostles are taught by teachers. And the prophets are subject to the prophets. And before God calls us to be apostles, we're trained by pastors. It all works together. We learn. We ever learn and increase. We're not like the world, the scientists of this world, ever learning and never learning the truth. I've been a mechanic almost 40 years. I'm 55, I started working on cars. When I was 50, I've been a mechanic 40 years. And cars still do things I've never seen before. In 1 year, I had almost every car I worked on did something I'd never seen. Or 75% of the cars I worked on did things I never experienced. Things I didn't even know could happen. And I've been a mechanic 40 years. So, this was new to Paul. He ran into it. He didn't know it was coming. He didn't know to train for it. He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And then he spoke words of faith, and cast the familiar spirit out of that damsel. She was just like a Canaanite. She was a Canaanite with her witchcraft. Familiar spirit, that's witchcraft. He cast it out right before the people, and she couldn't divine anymore. And the men that had her making money off of her had Paul arrested. But see, the love of God in you is more powerful than the wickedness of this world. What did Paul do? He worshiped God in the prison. And an earthquake happened, and all the prison doors were open. And nobody left, because they all heard the word of God, and they were affected. And I believe they got saved. And they fell in love with the Lord, and they didn't leave. And the prison guard, I believe he received salvation with his whole family. He took Paul and Barnabas home. And they were blessed because somebody remained in the love of God. Some people would have said, "Well, Lord, you let us go to jail. I just don't trust you no more." And they would have got depressed. See, when you start getting depressed because of worldly action, you stop trusting God too. You can't be depressed and trust God at the same time. Unless you trust him in one area and you doubt him in another. But Paul, he didn't miss a beat because he loved God. He responded to the living love of God, just like you're going to do. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily, mightily move in and throughout your life. And he's coming back for a glorious church any moment now. And I thank him for it, and I love him. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.